Please welcome Mel Blanc.
In reading about you, I heard that it took you a year and a half to get your first interview for your first job.
Yeah, that's right. I went to the studio. It was then called Schlesinger Cartoons.
What year?
1935.
Gee.
And
during the Depression?
Yeah. And the man who was in charge of hiring voices said, "I'm sorry, we have all the voices we need." Well, I went back in 2 weeks. I said, "Won't you at least listen to me?" Said, "No, we have all the voices we need." Well, I was pretty persistent. I kept going back every 2 weeks and asking them to listen to me.
How would you mean you didn't have anything on? Nowadays, you'd go in with your tapes, right? Yeah. You'd say, "Oh, I can do a tree or a singing hamburger." Nowadays, you just went in and did it live?
Yeah, before tapes. And I kept going back every 2 weeks for a year and a half. Finally, this guy died. I went to the next man in charge. His name was Treg Brown. Treg said, "Sure, let's hear what you have." I auditioned for him, and he said, "Would you do it again for the directors?" Did it for them, and they got a kick out of it. One director said, "I have a cartoon with a drunken bull. You think you can do the voice of a drunken bull?" I thought, geez, that's my first assignment. He said, "Yeah." I said, what would he say? How would he talk?
He would talk like it was a little loaded, as he was looking for a sour mash.
What are you doing next Tuesday? I wasn't doing a darn thing. I said, "I think I can make it." So that was
so
my
got
first
the job.
Voice in the cartoon.
How do you decide? Are there tools to your trade? There must be quick tricks that you use to decide what voice goes with what character.
Well, I see the character, and
they show you
me a still picture of the character, and then they show me a storyboard, what this character is going to do in the picture. Like Porky, they said, was a timid little guy, and he'd have trouble talking. And I figured, well, let's see now. A pig would talk, oink, 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 oink.
That's way up the voice for you. Porky Pig, you will be with a grunt.
They showed me various other cartoon characters like Tweety and Sylvester.
Yes.
And Tweety was a baby voice. I had to give him a baby baby character. I had to give him a baby voice.
"Ooh, I thought I saw a bunny cat."
And Sylvester was a big sloppy cat. I had to give him a sloppy voice. Oh, fluffer and sucker.
Which character are you most proud of? Which voice?
I think Bugs Bunny, Doc. That's my favorite voice. Seems to be the most popular with most of the kids, too.
What you maybe you don't know, that is a combination of Brooklyn and Bronx accent.
That's
what did
right.
you say?
That's right.
How do you mean that?
Well, when I tried to figure the voice, which is the toughest voice in this country, either Brooklyn or the Bronx?
So I put the two of them together, Doc. That's how I got the voice for Bugs.
Before that, you don't like to do voices that other people have originated. Is that true?
No, I don't like to steal from anybody. To me, it's like stealing. Impersonation is doing someone else's voice. It belongs to them. And I actually try to create each character that I do.
Yes. That gets into a legal situation. Do you own that sound of that voice? Can you copyright that?
I didn't copyright it. I gave Warner Brothers the voice, and they copyrighted it and trademarked it. The picture is trademarked, and the voice, the expressions that made him popular, like, "Hey, what's up, Doc?" and "Fluffer and Fluckatash," and all those were copyrighted.
But if someone does that voice and can sort of simulate the way Mel Blanc does it on a TV commercial, do you get money?
No. They'd be sued if they did, because...
So they can't do that?
They cannot say that they were Bugs Bunny or use "Hey, what's up, Doc?"
But if they didn't say, "Or what's up, Doc?"
You cannot sue for just stealing a voice.
Oh, I see.
In no place in the world outside of France, I think they have a law called Le Pledge, which is for plagiarism.
Yes.
And then they don't sue unless something detrimental is said about the character they're imitating.
How has animation... When I watch cartoons Saturday morning, as all our kids do, I see that the cartoons don't move as much or as freely as they did when you first started them. I assume that's for budget. Are there other changes in animation as the years have gone on?
Well, it's purely for budget. I'll tell you why. Full animation took 125 people 9 months to make one 6.5-minute cartoon.
Whoa. Well,
now they do it in less than 1/10 the time. Even at the time, it cost them around $50,000 just to make this one 6.5-minute cartoon. Now it would cost between $300,000 and $400,000.
Yeah.
And the only thing they do now is make full animation cartoons for television, which pay much bigger money.
Yes.
Like Christmas and New Year's and so on.
Yes. But when we see the background not moving and the character in front moving, that saves money. Of course, backgrounds don't move.
Yeah, well, the background.
Yeah. While
they're
the trees.
On a turntable, yeah, you see him. See him
yes.
Coming around again.
That's cheap.
Character
cheaper.
Stands still, his eyes blink, his mouth moves a little bit. And that saves so much money to them that they have to do it now. They can't afford to do full animation.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, you've made several non-vocal cartoons, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You've produced them?
Barney Rubble and the Flintstones. I did a voice for him, you know.
That's one of yours?
I know one. Let me tell you what one I do, Gil.
All right.
Buck, you're my kind of guy.
All right.
Wait, is that right? Of your robot thing?
The robot. Yeah. He's the voice of the robot.
A lot of people call me a dummy, but I say it's a robot.
Now, your producers went to Mel Blanc to develop this voice. They didn't know what he was going to sound like.
Right. When we first shot the picture, Tweaky had no voice at all.
Huh.
And there was no soundtrack. It was just Beady Beady or something like that was all we ever
when
did.
When people want this done, they go to Mel Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
I know that several years back, a good many years back, maybe 19 or 20, you had a serious car accident that practically ended the whole thing, didn't it?
Almost. In fact, I was in the obituary column in Honolulu. They thought I died. And I had every bone in my body broken except my left arm. I must have had that out the window.
Boy.
But 23 breaks in this leg and all of my, five of my spine, all of my ribs and pelvis and collarbone and all of them, they were all gone. But
there's a story that when you finally came to...
I was unconscious, yeah. I was unconscious for 21 days, and there was one doctor, brain specialist. I had a triple skull fracture, and he wanted to know whether I'd ever come out of it or not. And he came in every day, and he'd say, "How are you feeling today, Mel?" And I wouldn't answer him. So one day, this sounds like a real untrue story, but it's true because my wife and son were in the room when it happened. He came in, he got an idea, and he came in one day, and he said, "Hey, Bugs Bunny, how are you?"
I said, "Just fine, Doc. How are you?"
I was dead, but my characters were alive. I didn't even know he said it.
I must say, whenever the time comes, we hope it's a long ways away, but your characters will live with us for centuries to come.
Thank you. You've
given so much to America and to the world. Do other people... When they translate them into Japanese, Bugs Bunny must be right? Think about that.
You know what happens? He speaks in his voice. Then they dub in their language underneath. Like I was in Jerusalem, and I saw my cartoon there, and I was doing my voice. And then underneath in Hebrew, it said what I said.
Because they couldn't do the voice again.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. What other interests are you getting into now? Are you broadening?
Well, I'm doing a new one for, it's called Heathcliff. You know Heathcliff the cat that's in the funny papers?
Yes.
I'm doing a complete series on that, and that'll be shown on a different network.
Now, we've never heard the cat, right? We've never heard the cat talk. How did you, what voice did you, have you done that yet?
Well, he's a tough little stinky, you know, and that's the way he talks. He's going to talk like that. He's going to get rid of that Spike, that big dog. And Spike the Big Dog is another tough character, which I do also.
We have to go to commercial now. Pick a character that you'd like Mel to go to commercial with, okay? What have you got? Give me suggestions.
Yosemite Sam.
Porky Pig. Anything else? Flintstone. Daffy Duck.
Twiggy.
Elmer Fudd? Well, I want to ask you that before we... Have you ever gotten bad mail over the fact that Elmer Fudd really has a speech defect?
Let me tell you the truth. That's the only character I did not create. That was created by Arthur Q. Bryan.
Oh, but
he died about 30 years ago.
Yes.
And they came to me and said, can you imitate him? I said, I don't imitate voices. I said, well, can you give us, please, we just have a couple of lines. I said,
oh, I don't try, but I don't know if I could do it or not.
That's it.
Yosemite Sam would like to introduce a character that would like to end the whole thing. Porky, say goodbye to him, will you?
Yeah, you better will. That's all, folks.